Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for your holy word as you guided by your Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding Paul to write these things for our brothers and sisters so long ago. And we thank you that this word is to us as well. And so we do pray that you would enable us to hear, receive, trust, and obey. We ask, O Lord, for your blessing again, that we may be a blessing to others and we may glorify you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this Thursday we're celebrating this holiday, what is called Thanksgiving. Why? Why do we celebrate this holiday? Well, you could say, well, that's the government set it aside. Like I said earlier, this was a declaration by Bradford, by Washington, by Lincoln. It's established a national holiday. So we do that because that's part of being an American. Well, we could say, why do we celebrate it? Well, tradition. Because we always do that. It's Thanksgiving, just like other holidays. Or we could answer the question, because it's a good thing to do. Is it a good thing to do to celebrate? But what about the other 364 days of the year? It's a good thing to do. Why? Because we're called to thank God. Our text, notice our text is verse 18. In everything, and we're going to look at that, in everything, that's a challenging statement. In everything, you mean adversity? You mean cancer? You mean problems, pain, suffering? Is that part of everything? You mean good things? You mean blessings? Is that part of everything? Yes. In everything, what are we to do? Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. As you look at the text, did anybody read the book of 1 Thessalonians in preparation? I should have asked you to do so. If you did, you would notice that Paul, by example, again and again, thanks God. So if you look at chapter 1, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Chapter 2, verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it was in truth the word of God, which also effectually worked in you who believe. So Paul, in beginning and throughout the letter, he's thanking God, and then he comes to the close of the letter, application, and what does he say? Thank God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So my main point is there in the bulletin, everything that exists, even existence itself, ultimately comes from God. What is the appropriate response that the creature should render to the Creator? The answer in a word is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving both in word and thanksgiving in deed. Or as one person said, we are called to thanksgiving and thanks living. I like that one. As a matter of fact, you probably see on the back of your outline a sermon on thanksgiving by Dr. Harold L. White. And that idea of thanks living comes from him. And you can read that on your own. Please don't be distracted. Read that. Take it home. It might be a good thing to actually read on Thanksgiving. Wouldn't that be a nice part of the celebration, is to read these things? So I leave that with you. Hopefully you can set that aside. Focus back here. Okay, thank you. So what is Paul doing in this letter? He is writing to the suffering church there in Thessalonica. If you remember the events around it, Paul was in Philippi, and they ended up getting thrown in jail, and then finally they were released by the hand of God with the earthquake and everything else. And then they moved on to Berea, and then they moved on to Thessalonica. They got there, and they started preaching the gospel, and 3 weeks later there was a riot that occurred, because the Jews were jealous, and so then they got this riot going, and they had to leave. They only had a short time where they were able to plant that church in Thessalonica, and then they had to leave. And now he's writing this letter to comfort them in the midst of the suffering, in the midst of the persecution that they were experiencing. And so you see in chapter 1, Paul commends them and their faith. In chapters 2 and 3, he encourages and comforts them. In chapters 4 and 5, he teaches them. And there's questions that they're raising. He tries to answer them. And here we come in our section in chapter 5 of exhortations on, okay, here's how to say thank you to God. These are the things that you can do to say thank you. And he goes through a list of them. In my Bible, if you notice the little orange or pink there, you see that? All those? Every one of those are commands. These are all exhortations. These are things you should be doing. And so the letter, if you notice, compared to the rest, all of a sudden, that's the context, okay? The context is, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, and so on. And so what we have here is a call of thankfulness, how we are to do it. So my first point, can we do it naturally? Does the natural man thank God? No? Is it natural for the natural man to say thank you to God? The answer is no. The natural man is an ingrate. Okay. Sin is ingratitude, if you want to call it that. The unregenerate man in Adam, he doesn't have the right orientation and he doesn't do the right actions. So his orientation in life is himself. Well, I guess he does like to thank himself. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people. Is that a prayer? Is that in the Bible? Is there a prayer in the Bible that starts off, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people? It is. It was a prayer condemned by Jesus. Paul writes in another letter, in Romans chapter 1, he describes the natural man. I'm not going to read all of chapter 1, 2, and 3, but I do want to point out one thing that he says. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Then he talks about that suppression, and in verse 21 he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. It's interesting that he's talking about ungodliness, and then he's going to talk about unrighteousness. But in the context of ungodliness, he summarizes it in one sentence as not being thankful to God the Creator. You are? Praise God. That's a work of the Spirit. When unregenerate man looks at things that go his way or her way, what do they normally say? Oh, it was luck. Right? Is that, have you ever heard any? Oh, that was really lucky. Was it luck? I was going to talk about something I should. Was it luck or chance? The problem with that statement is it's impersonal. It just happened. If something good happens, oh, that was luck. But if something bad happens, what is the response? Bitterness, complaining, anger, hostility. I didn't get my way. That was unjust. What's another response of man to the things that happen? Destiny. How many movies have you seen where they refer to destiny? What is your destiny? But it's not what God has ordained. It's this magical, there's some kind of thing, the cosmic forces have destined you to become this person or this thing. It's a very impersonal response. Because it's impersonal, there's no accountability. There's no one to be thankful to if you come and become whatever you're destined to believe. in that world because of the impersonality or the idea of rejection or removal of God from destiny. There are some that say, well, I thank myself. I'm a self-made man. Right? Look at what I have done. If I have anyone to thank, it's myself. Some preachers preach positive thinking. Go so far as saying, you are God, and all you have to do is say it, claim it, name it, and claim it, right? You are God, and you speak things into existence. You can be wealthy. You just say, you are God. So who do you thank when the things go your way in that theology? Yourself. You are God. But what about the regenerate person? What about the person who is brought from death to life? One who has a new heart, a new orientation, that is God, a new world and life view. What are we to do? We are to acknowledge what God has done. Isn't that what thank you is? Thank you, God. Isn't that the response to salvation? Is thank you, God. I was dead. And you brought me to life. Thank you. Doesn't that seem natural? Or should be. Yet can you and I fall back into ungratefulness? The sin of ingratitude. Do we forget? Do we fail to do? When we hear this command, in everything give thanks, you may be tempted to say, that's impossible. I can be thankful for the good things, but what about bad things? What about disease? What about death? I hope you're praying for our brother Lee Johnson, pastor down in Omaha. He got COVID, and then he had a blood clot that went to his brain, and he didn't die. But he is paralyzed on one side. He can now talk, praise God. He can say yes and no. That's about it. I think someone said he could actually made a couple statements or sentences. So he's got progress, but it's going to be a long road. Can you imagine a pastor can't speak? Oh, that's hard. Pray for Pastor Lee Johnson and his family in this time of slow recovery. And again, sup. Does this passage say to Pastor Johnson, in everything, give thanks? Is that a hard thing naturally to do? Thank you, God, that I'm paralyzed from on my right side. That's contra-intuitive, right? It doesn't make any sense. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. John Piper, I don't know if any of you have ever read his article he wrote, about his cancer. He talked about the idea of making the most out of your cancer. Right? To be thankful when adversity comes your way. That's not a natural thing in ourselves, but yet, can God enable you to be thankful for all things? It's the work of the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. Notice that statement, our text. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So where it is impossible with man, that's the first point, it is possible through Christ. Isn't that what salvation is? That which is impossible for man is possible with Christ? And I would say yes, and you would too, I hope. Second point. It is required by God. Notice in our text, this is the will of God. We are called, God desires, and God calls us to say thank you. As that one preacher said, not only for thanksgiving, but also through thanks living. The will of God, God's will for you. What do you do when you obey God? You're just saying thank you. I think that's important. God doesn't owe you. you, O God, for what he has done. And how can you say thank you? By living and doing what he commands. I have five becauses on my list here. Why? Because we exist through him and for him. We have a purpose. When I grew up in the 60s, there were many people, many young people that were traveling around the world and around the country looking for a purpose. Many, many people do that. I think it's important to do so. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And the answer to the question is, you can answer it in one word, God. Your purpose has to do with the one who put you here on purpose, with a purpose. And what is that purpose? What is, anybody know the Shorter Catechism question number one? What is man's primary purpose? Glorify God and enjoy him forever. We are called to glorify God. How can we do that? Well, one of the ways is say thank you. Thank you, God. Am I glorifying God when I say thank you to God? And the answer is yes. I'm acknowledging he is the giver of all good things, of everything, right? Because we exist, that's a gift from God. And we have a purpose, that's a gift from God. Also because he provides for us all things necessary for life and godliness. And so our calling is to acknowledge that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that breath I just took. As the Puritan said, I just breathed in the mercy of God. What should I do with that breath? Thank you. Right? Not grumbling and complaining because it's not going my way. Thank you, God, for giving me all that's necessary for life and godliness. Why? Because he has redeemed us with his precious blood. Notice again, in Christ Jesus, God has called us unto good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. And those good works could be summarized in what? Thankfulness. So if you come away from this sermon and you don't remember thankfulness or thank you or that, then shame on you. I will be asking that question. Because not only he has redeemed us, but he sanctifies us. Does your tongue belong to you? Is your tongue your own? And you can use it however you like. No, if you're redeemed, your tongue is redeemed, and so what? Your tongue is designed for what? To speak and say thank you. When the people of God were persecuted, I'm thinking of the Huguenots in France during the Reformation, and they were taken off and burned at the stake. What did they do with their tongues? They sang praises to God, so much so that those that were killing them were so upset with them that they cut their tongues out so that they would not be able to use their tongues to praise God while they were being killed. You have a free tongue. How do you use it? You say thank you. By our tongues, and I have Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. You can look that up. Hebrews 13, 15, you can look that up. He sanctifies our tongue. He sanctifies our bodies. He sanctifies our actions. Look at, let's just go to that one. Another letter of Paul, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. He says, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So this idea of thanks living is scriptural. In everything you do, in word and in deed, do all as a way of saying thank you, God. And finally, because it is bound, it is the binding, that which connects us with God. And notice he says, praying without ceasing. Our connection with him is connection And like I said in the past couple Sundays, our most precious possession is our relationship with Him. And one of the ways that we maintain that relationship is to pray. And one of the things we say in our prayer is thank you. Or should be, right? We just read it earlier. David writes this wonderful declaration of thanksgiving to God and makes it into a song that is sung when the Ark of the Covenant comes into Jerusalem. A national holiday of thanksgiving. And he writes a song, a prayer. Prayer is, and I've said this before, I think, prayer is the antidote of anxiety. Are you anxious? Have you ever been anxious? I have. Just ask my wife. It's one of my besetting sins. Worry. Anxiety. What has God given as an antidote? Prayer. And part of that prayer is, thank you, God. I'm worried right now. I have a reason to be worried because of what's happening to me. I can justify it. Well, no. God says, in everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. It is God's antidote. God, this is yours. Have you ever prayed that prayer? God, I just can't take this. This is your burden. Roll your burden on the Lord. That's in the Bible? Thank you. Third point. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Who wrote that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Is it the same author of this letter in another letter? What does he say? Whether I abase, I have nothing, or I have everything, I abound, I have learned, I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me. So if you hear this command, in everything give thanks, again, the natural reaction is, well, that's I can't do that. That's hard to do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is God's gracious actions towards us, towards you, and that response, the appropriate response is to trust Him, to thank Him. We're called to live by faith. Live according to and in obedience to His will. And praise God, through Jesus Christ, He has sent His Spirit and He enables us to say thank you, even when it doesn't make any sense at all. Thank you, Lord, for cancer. Oh, that's right. That's the title. Don't waste your cancer. That was John Piper's article. You can look that up. Don't waste your cancer. Don't waste the afflictions and infirmities that you have. Turn them. Turn to Christ. Find grace in Him. Seek His face and His revealed will. Isn't that what happens when you say thank you to God? Isn't that what you're doing? Are you seeking God's face and you're saying to God, thank you, God? Seek His face. It is His work of salvation. The gift of eternal life. It's a gift. Even the ability to accept that gift is a gift. Do we understand that? The gift is received by the work of the Spirit of God enabling us. As we read earlier, it's the work of the gospel. It's the work of the Spirit. Whereas we are regenerated, we are brought to life. The call of God is made effectual in your life. Thank you, Lord. What about your talents, abilities, gifts? Do you have any? What are they? What gifts do you have? Can you think? Is that a gift from God? Ask somebody, well, you can't really ask them, somebody that is struggling with the ability to think. Have you ever said, thank you, God, I can remember what I did this morning or yesterday? As you get older, it's a little bit harder to do. Thank you, God, for the ability to know that 2 plus 2 is 4. Right? Oh, everybody knows that. No, dogs don't know that. Thank you, God, that I can, as you get older, I can move. I'm standing here today. Yesterday I was out and my back was killing me and I could barely move my left leg. I went out hunting with, I don't know if you know Dan and Lisa's son, Lane, and he had to deal with this old man. He had to keep walking and slowing down because I could barely keep up with him. And my wife said, "Are you going to be sitting during this sermon?" Didn't you? Thank you, Lord, I can actually walk around. Now, most of you young people, some of you ran, 3 miles yesterday? Maybe a little sore. Thank you, God, that I'm not in the hospital. I didn't have a heart attack out there hiking up and down. But the question is, are you aware of that? That's the question. Do you have a spirit of gratitude? The talents that you've been given, the abilities to work or to study, the opportunities in life, the blessings of family. All of these are gifts. Do you accept them and use them for the glory of God and for the good of others? They're not just for you. Being able to play the piano, yeah, it can be a blessing to other people, right? Not just for you. Be able to run fast. Is that for you so you can get a big turkey? You know what? Who I'm talking to. Is that the purpose? No, it's for the glory of God. Again, I don't know, has anybody watched the movie Chariots of Fire? Let me see. See the hands of those who have actually seen the movie. I challenge those of you that haven't to watch the movie. In that movie, it's describing a runner who is a Christian, who is a believer. And as he's running, at the very end, what do you find him doing? He's running down the, running like, this is not the right way to run a sprint. This is kind of a hindrance, right? If you're running a sprint, you're using your arms to kind of get you. He's running like this, praising God. He says, his sister asked him, why do you do this? He said, I run. When I run, I feel God's pleasure. Right? Why do you run? Because God has given me ability to run, and I'm running for the glory of God. And he's the one that gets the glory. And what happened is in the movie, he glorifies God, doesn't he? It's an awesome. First time I watched that, I walked out of the theater weeping. We went and watched it again. The next time we walked out of there, my wife was weeping. It really touched our hearts. I encourage you to watch it. It's one of the few movies that I really encourage you to watch. What about opportunities? Are they a gift? Are they part of the everything? Of course. What about the trials and testings? Are they an opportunity to glorify God and to thank Him? Are they the hardest ones? I think so. But they're part of the everything. What about our families? Do we pray for them? Do we look out for their good? I have a list. I can keep going. What else can we be thankful for? The means of grace. We're about ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Use it. Grow in grace and knowledge of Christ. How about beauty? The ability to appreciate something beautiful. Where does that come from? It comes from God. To be able to look at a sunset and go, or sunrise. That's a gift. Thank you, Lord. What about inspiration? I have this insight. I never saw this before. Where did that come from? It came from God. Thank you, God. I didn't know that. What's the old statement? Learn something new every day and twice on Sunday? Hopefully. Every day, each day, living it for the fullness of God. When it talks about trials and testings, again, which sometimes is our greatest challenge, I'm going to steal from somebody else, and I'll be wrapping it. Hang in there. This is from Calvin on this verse, his commentary. God has such a disposition towards us in Christ that even in our afflictions, we have large occasion of thanksgiving. Now, if you ever knew about Calvin and all of the bodily difficulties that he had and how he was hated, and there were people in Geneva that named their dog after him. He was not well liked in the city of Geneva. So he understood an affliction. He said, even in our affliction, we have a large occasion of thanksgiving. For what is fitter and more suitable for pacifying us than when we learn that God embraces us in Christ so tenderly that he turns to our advantage and welfare everything that befalls us? Let us therefore bear in mind that this is a special remedy for correcting our impatience, to turn away our eyes from beholding present evils that torment us, and to direct our views to a consideration of a different nature, how God stands affected toward us in Christ. What is he saying there? In the midst of whatever the affliction is, the temptation is to look at the affliction or to look at ourselves. Woe is me, right? And what does he say? The proper response is to look away from self, look at God, and find in him that he cares about us. He's our Heavenly Father. I was thinking about this the other day. Our Father, who art in heaven. And I was just meditating on the ability to say our and the ability to say Father to God. God is our Father. He commands us to ask the things that we need, right? What is the chief way that we can say thank you to God according to the Heidelberg Catechism? It's through prayer. It's connecting with God. It's honoring God. It's fellowshipping with God. It's laying down our burdens with God. It's rejoicing in God. The greatest way that we can say thank you is to say thank you, to talk to him. So in conclusion, this is a good word. In conclusion means he's going to shut up soon. In conclusion, thanksgiving is more than a day of celebration. It is a way of life. For those who know God the Father through Jesus Christ and are enabled to by the abiding Holy Spirit, it is thanks. What did I say? Thanks living. Thank you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for granting unto us an awareness of, an understanding of the many, 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 many blessings that we've been given by you, both in creation and through redemption and sanctification. We do pray, O Lord, that you would glorify yourself through us and you enable us in all that we say and all that we do and everything, enable us to give thanks to you. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.